Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Two great topics ahead of us today. Before we get to that, I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about them on our website. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsors section. First up, Sarah talks with some of our friends about their Eyes of Life story. You can find out more about, well, she'll share with you more about the Eyes of Life campaign, where you can find it online and share the story of the Montgomery family and their Eyes of Life story. In the second half, we'll talk about a great topic for Halloween. It's that time of year when we start thinking about spooky things. Well, when we're talking with the dearly departed, are we talking with departed or are we talking with deceiving demons? We'll talk with the Reverend Dr. Robert H. Bennett about that as well. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Sarah Golseth. October is Down Syndrome Awareness Month, so we're talking with a few families who have a child with Down syndrome and what that's like. My guests today by phone are Sabrina and Nathan Montgomery. Welcome, Sabrina and Nathan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your family. Who makes up your family?
To our immediate family, we have an older daughter who is 23, and then we have a middle daughter who is 7, and then we have Brody who is 4.
We also have a son. Our oldest just got married, so now we have a son-in-law.
Yes, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. And we are specifically talking with you guys today because of Brody and because of the Eyes of Life story that you submitted to the LCMS Eyes of Life project. So can you tell me a little bit more about Brody?
He was kind of a surprise. Always wanted a son. And then he was born in August of 2012. And we noticed that he was failing to thrive. He just wasn't gaining weight like he should. And we had him tested, and in January of 2013, we found out that he did indeed have Down syndrome. We'd always kind of feared it because when he was born, one of the nurses mentioned it. But we were quickly told, it doesn't look like he has it, and everything else was well. And I'll be honest with you, that was kind of a devastating thing for both of us, probably more so me. I grew up with a couple of kids. I went to a parochial school in Minnesota, and there was a kid there that had Down syndrome, and I grew up with him. But there's also one in our hometown, and I saw some of the struggles he had, and I was worried about that. But we got through that, and then we found that about 50% of all Down syndrome children have problems with their heart. And out of that 50%, there's 25 of them are severe. And I guess we really got lucky, I guess, because we were in the worst. I guess you can call it lucky. Yeah. We were in the worst category. He had 2 very large holes in his heart.
Oh, my.
And so we were told in April of 2013 that just to keep him comfortable and that eventually he'd pass away. So you're faced with worried about Down syndrome, and now it's the possibility of losing him.
Wow.
And we were actually told that he probably wouldn't live past 3, and to just make him comfortable, and eventually he just wouldn't wake up one day, you know. But in August of that year, my wife actually posted on social media his diagnosis, and somebody in
Kansas City.
Yeah, that Ken Nips.
Yeah.
Approached my wife and said, hey, you know, our son has the same diagnosis. Have you looked at Boston? And so October 30th of that year, Brody got his heart fixed. And it's been that kind of up and down.
Mm-hmm.
We live at a fairly high altitude here in Wyoming, and he crashed right away and ended up in the hospital for 2 more weeks while he recovered. But everything was going fairly well after that. And along the way, Sabrina was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. So we're kind of dealing with that. And in 2015, February, she was doing radiation, and Brody developed RSV, which is a respiratory virus.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up with sepsis and pneumonia.
Oh, my goodness.
And they had to life flight him across the state to Utah, and he spent 3 weeks in ICU.
Yeah, we had a cardiac arrest on the Saturday after we got there.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them 5 minutes to bring him back. And
wow.
If he had not had his heart fixed, that sickness definitely would have killed him.
Definitely.
But,
so you guys have been through quite a bit in the last few years.
Right.
We have.
But you're still here in your
way.
Yes. Joys and blessings, of course. So what did you know about Down syndrome before Brody? Were you familiar with it at all?
I think we were aware of it and you worry about it. I was genetically tested when I was pregnant with him, but it came back that he was normal, was going to be fine. That's why when he was born, when they questioned Down syndrome, the doctors brushed it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then giving it hindsight, people probably won't understand that my hospital where Brody was born, he was the only baby born that month.
Wow.
We're in a really small community.
Mm-hmm.
So they were questioning it, and Dr. Starr thought he was fine. So that's why the diagnosis, and he doesn't show all the signs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think Down syndrome, when you are pregnant, you're not in that community.
Right.
So you don't know much about them. But once you have a child with Down syndrome, people come out of the woodwork. They welcome you. And then you just have, it's a secret society.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see them where you're more aware of it when you're out and about now.
Sure. Definitely. Go ahead.
One of the things we'd had it on my side of the family, my mom's cousin had Down syndrome and was in a home because it was in the 60s when she was born. So, you know, it was one of those things we knew they were institutionalized. And my mom had always said that everybody, you know, all her brothers and sisters had all worried that they'd have a child with Down syndrome. But one of the touching moments she told me after everything with Brody, she said, that was one of our biggest concerns. And she said, now I know that it's not scary at all. It's actually a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew a little bit about it. And obviously there's different ranges.
Sure.
And that was kind of the thing after he was diagnosed. We were like, well, we'll make it through this. Down syndrome isn't that big of a deal. We'll do it. And then we dealt with a heart issue. And I'll tell you now, I wouldn't change a thing. And I would tell anybody that ever, if they have that diagnosis, it's scary. It is
sure.
At first. But it's unbelievable the rewards you get. But with prayer. I mean,
yes.
Without God there guiding us, it would have been difficult, very difficult.
You know, and I think the biggest part, I don't know, you know, I got to give a little more dynamic, is we have two girls, and we always want a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And their girls dominate the cousins. There's only one other little boy. And so when we had Brody, he's the baby boy of two big sisters. He's a baby cousin, and he's supposed to carry the name.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a husband, and, you know, this is going to be the token boy. And he comes out that he has Down syndrome, it hurts.
Sure.
Because what dreams and stuff you had for that little boy just changes. You hit the dark side, and then you just come back and you realize, okay, now we just have to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Just evaluate. And I think that that's one thing that people with Down syndrome have, is when you get that diagnosis, you just have to realize that you have to redo your expectations and your goals and what you thought, because the dreams you had for this child have died. You just have to get a different child, a different dream. Does that make sense?
I wouldn't say died. It just different.
Different,
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
It really changed. You know, I always wanted a little boy that helped work on the car, and, you know, I'm kind of a motorhead, and I kind of wanted that in my son. And here, I'll tell you right now, he is all son that I could have ever asked for. It goes back to, God doesn't necessarily give you what you ask for. He gives you what you need. And this, I'll tell you what, my son is everything that I'd ever need. He is truly a blessing to not just us and our family. Like, for example, we went for a doctor's appointment with Sabrina. We went to a restaurant, and my mom was there visiting, and it was just he walked down the aisle, and he shakes hands. Everybody, he acts like he owns the place. He walks in, shakes hands, say hi to everybody, and then when he's leaving, he does the same thing. He's just...
That's wonderful.
He's a real... I don't want to say mascot necessarily, but he's a real... truly a blessing to us. I can't say that enough.
Yeah.
And obviously, like you said, it's a scary diagnosis to get, but it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Different, but wonderful.
Yeah. What kinds of misconceptions have you run across over the last couple of years of what people think that someone with Down syndrome is going to be like versus what you know to be true with your own son?
Well, I guess one of the biggest ones is that they're always good, they're little cherubs, and that they're not naughty. And I'll tell you right now, Brody is a regular kid. He fights with his sisters, he's naughty, and he's not always happy. Everybody, I think there's an assumption that they're always going to be happy, and well, he is not. He's got his days.
Right, and I guess the other thing is they're normal little, you know, I guess when you look at them, they're normal little people. And you do, Nathan had some, not too long ago, I can't remember where we were, and the lady said something about, I can't believe you let your son.
No, she was being nice. So there was a little boy that's a friend with Brody, and she came to me, and she was an older woman. She said, oh, it is so nice that you let your son play with that little retarded boy.
Oh.
And I know that's, and I said, well, actually, that little retarded boy is my son.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but the good news is it led to a whole conversation, and I was able to tell his story and how we were blessed. And
yeah.
And that's, so you just turn it around.
I guess the biggest part is we watched a show called Born This Way, and one little girl, she's got Down syndrome, what she says is, don't limit them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people seem to want to limit them of what they can do, but they're capable of doing whatever any other child is doing. It might take them a few more tries, but they're going to do it, and they're going to succeed. And so don't limit them. Treat them just like any other child.
I think that's important for people to realize, too.
Yeah. They are a little, they're like you said, I said, they'll take a little bit longer, but they'll get it. And they're just, you know, and I guess we've learned and we've seen with our friends is treat them like normal little kids. They're, and you know, in reality, they're normal kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have their... They're going to be naughty. They're going to be good. But if you treat them like little kids, and that's what they want to be. They want to be included, and they don't want to be limited.
Definitely. So having a child with a disability, or Down syndrome, there's going to be struggles. There's going to be a lot of joys. We've touched a little bit on both of them, but let's talk a little bit more about some of the struggles that you've had in the last couple of years.
Obviously, the health ones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it does, like Sabrina said, one of the current ones, I guess, compared to everything, it's minor, is he's communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's taking him a little bit longer than our girls. And sometimes it's really frustrating for me because he'll come to me and he'll start, he wants to tell me, but he doesn't know how to tell me. But I guess that's one of the biggest struggles. He's this little social butterfly. I mean, we don't have really an issue there.
From the past was the heart. That was the hardest, you know, God's giving me this, and then I have to hold my baby as possibly he's going to leave me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get him fixed, and you think, okay, we're okay. And then get the RSV and have his cardiac arrest and be so sick. And not knowing, you know, that was hard. Watching them have to work on your son and bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that you might not, you know, and that was hard. You know, you asking God why. You know, now you look at him and every little thing, you worry. But, you know, so I look back at that and that's kind of the struggles I have sometimes.
Sure.
The help. But
so
when
then-
I look forward and what has gone on, it was God's plan. It's helped us come stronger with Brody. It's drawn us closer to Brody. I mean, if if any time that I've ever been closer to God, it was when Brody's been sick. And so I, you know, and not only do they, he brings me closer, but he also is able to let me show our faith to other patients and other families that have children with disabilities who have lost their children.
Right.
So I think when I look at that, you know, but the help is that that's a real struggle because no mom wants to bury their child.
Definitely.
One of the other issues that when he was, before we got his heart repaired, any little cold would end up, you know, either lifelighting him or bringing him to the hospital in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
And after one of those bouts, and, you know, he just barely made it, I asked the doctor, I said, so how much did this compromise him, his long-term, you know, health? And did we cause any damage by waiting too long? And it really helped us get it through. He said, look, everybody's got something.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's got a burden. And he said there could be, you could be a jogger with perfect health and have a stroke and die, or you could live completely healthy and get sick and have cancer. And I guess after that, it really framed it. And I guess one of the other things that I'd like to say is, you know, it was the third day of him being in ICU after he got really sick and had that cardiac arrest. It was on Monday. I can remember it distinctly. I just bowing down and saying, God, I don't know what you want me to do here. You've brought him back with his heart. We got it fixed. He's very sick. They're telling us that he's at 80% of the maximum care they can give. I can't believe in my heart that you don't have a bigger purpose for him. And here he is dying. I need to know what you want me to do. And we had a luncheon the next day that we weren't going to go to, and it's with families that have chronic diseases with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
We went in there, and people tell us that we're brave and all that, but we're nothing compared to these people. they have diagnosis of kids without immune systems and all kinds of stuff. But we walked out of there going, you know, we prayed for them and said, you know, thank you, God, for what the burden that we have is light compared to a lot of these other people. And they truly are heroes. One of the mothers, I was talking to her about how we didn't, you know, what happens when we pass away, who's going to take care of our son? And she goes, that's kind of funny because my whole life is what's going to happen when my child passes away, because she knew that her daughter was not going to make it to adulthood. She just, you know, like trisomy 13 and
mm-hmm.
these rare diseases. So it puts it in perspective, and you know, they're great people, and there's so many true heroes out there I guess what I want to get across to everybody is, no matter what it is that your child has, it's okay. You're going to make it through it, and you're going to be better. And there's a lot of, there's struggles. There's a lot of lows. But I'll tell you what, the highs are worth it.
And the unconditional love that they give is, you know, your kids give you unconditional love. It just seems like a child that has a disability or is in a wheelchair or on a feeding tube, their love and their compassion seems to be a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But they have so unconditional love because they don't know any different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another, you know, part of it is their love for anything is unconditional.
Sure.
So
this, your story is on the LCMS Eyes of Life campaign, which is a wonderful campaign looking at how precious all life is, no matter if it's a disabled life or an infant or an elderly person. What caused both of you to share your story with that campaign?
I want people to realize that just because everybody has their struggles and you have a child with a disability, they're not limited. You're not limited. They're going to bring something to you and to your life that you unexpected. And I think when I was doing radiation and Ruddy was sick in the hospital and I was doing radiation, I'd have to walk. While he was in the bed, I'd have to walk probably half a mile to do radiation and walk back while he was in bed. he was so sick. And one time when I see that and then what I went through with my cancer, because I guess I want people to realize that life is hard, but God will pull you through. Mm-hmm. There will always be a blessing at any challenge and anything going on in your life, no matter if it's a child with disability or you're going through cancer or anything. There's going to be a blessing at the end.
Sure.
And these children are just the ones that we've met that brought into our lives that never would have been brought into our lives if it wasn't for Brody.
Sure.
You know, I cherish every soul, and we don't have the right to tell what quality and their burden. And I think everybody's life matters up to the time when God decides that our time is over and he calls us home.
Sure.
But
Nathan, what about you? Why is it so important for you to share your family's story?
Well, the biggest thing I think is, you know, the abortion rate for Down syndrome is extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the exact statistics off the top of
that,
but it's something like 90% are aborted. And if we can save a baby's life, it's worth it. Because I'm telling you, they're phenomenal kids. We've met a few, obviously, all the time. We went to they call it the Buddy Walk, which is Down Syndrome Society in every state.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the one here in Wyoming and met just wonderful kids.
Families.
These, you know, I guess we all want the perfect child, mm-hmm. thought we did, until we have, I guess, what the world would see as an imperfect child, but not imperfect, different. And that's totally okay. I mean, he's a little bit different, but he's just such a joy. I mean, to the point where you see a picture of him, you want to grab him and hold him because he's,
mm-hmm.
Their faith, I really believe when he's older, he's going to be such an ambassador for Christ because his faith is pure. The rest of the stuff that we get wrapped up in this world, what other people think of us and everything, isn't going to bother him. He's more in tune with God. We were listening to a podcast with a pastor who talks about his daughter who has Down syndrome, and they were playing hide and seek. The problem with her in hide and seek is, she doesn't want to be lost. She wants to be found. So she doesn't hide. So.
And I want to give voices to all these other families that are raising these Down syndrome children. We don't get enough voices out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're muffled. And I think visiting with these families, we want our voices to be heard. We want our children and our kids and these older ones' voices to be heard of how great they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a burden, and they don't want to be a burden. They just want to be loved. They want to show you what God has to give you.
Sure.
So I think that's the biggest part with me is I want to be also help with Brody to show what, give voices to the other families, these other kids.
Sure.
So,
with just a couple of minutes left, is there any advice or any words of wisdom you'd like to give those other parents that are dealing with children with disabilities or who may be pregnant with a child with a disability and maybe don't know where to turn?
I think one of the biggest I got today, I reached out to some of my friends that had children with disabilities. You're going to learn to appreciate the little things. Don't expect this is your child. He's going to do what he wants to do or what she wants to do at her time. Dance at the little milestones. Learn to appreciate, take time for yourself, love them, you know, realize, don't put them on, treat them like a normal little kid, but realize that they're going to learn at their own time and celebrate those milestones. You know, I learned with the girls, a lot of those went aside and we didn't celebrate because we just come expected.
Mm-hmm.
With Brody, I mean, it was a big deal when he started to walk. When he does things, we get excited.
Mm-hmm.
Just realize that this is your child, and they're going to learn at their own pace and love them for who they are.
Sure. Nathan, what about you?
Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I would say pray. The answer is not always there, and God does it in his own time. And I'll tell you another thing that got us through is God doesn't give us more than we can bear. And it just pray. There's a lot to that. And seek out other people in your church. There's so many people that want to help but just don't know how to help.
Sure.
And we were blessed. Our pastor, Jonathan Lang, he's very, very devout man. And mm-hmm. he's really helped us through this mm-hmm. a lot. He's been there the whole time with Brody, even little doctor's appointments. He's yep. been there.
And the little ladies and gentlemen of our church, because Brody's the youngest. We don't have very many kids. Mm-hmm. And it's never, how's your Brody? It's how's our Brody. And he'll be up, and then he helps Pastor sing, and he helps Pastor do his sermon, and Pastor loves it. So
that's wonderful.
That's how they look at Brody. Brody's not yours. He's ours.
Well, wonderful.
And he takes that responsibility pretty high.
That's wonderful. We're all out of time. To find more about your story, anybody can go to the Eyes of Life page and read more about you, eyesoflife.org/Sabrina. It's been wonderful talking with you and learning more about Brody, Sabrina, and Nathan Montgomery. Thank you so much for being my guests today.
Thank you.
More Faith and Family coming up next.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.